When you think of a fingerprint, one of the things that all people know is that no two fingerprints are exactly alike. So we view children like that. Every child is different. Every child has the imprint of God's image on them. And so every one of these kids is a unique person with a unique fingerprint.
Welcome to Real People, Real Impact. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you have tuned in today as we're talking with Greg Norwine. He's the Executive Director of Global Fingerprints. And Greg, thanks for joining us here on Real People, Real Impact.
Well, I'm honored, Steve. This is terrific.
Got a quick question. Let's start at the very beginning. What is Global Fingerprints?
Yeah, so Global Fingerprints is a child sponsorship program. A lot of people are familiar with Compassion International or World Vision. And so that's a model of ministry where you get people in the United States or some other Western part of the world, and they will sponsor a child. They pay a certain amount a month, and that money goes to help that child to meet their basic needs. And so we're another version of that.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm familiar with Compassion. World Vision, I think, does something very similar along these lines. How are you? Are you different than either one of those?
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that are similar, and we would consider ourselves kind of on the same team. We're people that are committed to trying to help meet the basic needs of kids in poverty. So a lot of what we do is similar. What does make us a little different is that we are actually part of a church denomination. So we're a part of the Evangelical Free Church of America. Not everybody who sponsors a child is from that denomination, but we are actually a part of that denomination, and so we are part of their missions arm. And what that means is that we're part of a larger strategy. We're part of a larger church planting strategy. So, for example, in some place like Vietnam, what we'll do is we'll go in to a community and we'll start a Global Fingerprints program because it's very difficult to get inroads into a country like Vietnam that's communist and Buddhist. So we'll go in, start to serve the children, and that opens doors for a church to be planted. So we have a very close connection with church planting or strengthening of churches that already exist. So that's probably makes us a little different than some of the other child sponsorship programs.
A lot of those really primarily focused on meeting the physical, tangible needs of the child with the hope of sharing the gospel. It seems
right.
Like you're taking it one step further to share the gospel and plant churches.
Exactly. I mean, we feel like if think of Vietnam, for example. So these kids were sharing the gospel with them. They're coming to Christ. But if they don't have a place to worship, if there's not a place that their family can be invited in so that they can be ministered to, you know, we just feel like the church has just got to be central to what we're trying to do. And so when there's not a church, we're going to try to help plant one.
Do you work in areas where there already are churches and have partnerships there? Or is the goal to go into an area that maybe is unchurched to plant a church?
Yeah, we do both. To me, some of the most exciting stuff we do is when we're going into some area that's largely unreached, and we're finding child sponsorship has been extremely effective at evangelism. But there are other places that we do go where there is an established church. And so what we do in that environment is we found that, again, by most of the people that do the work for us are from one of the national churches. And we find that it helps them to get more involved in their community, more engaged with the community. I think of a church that I was at last fall in Panama, and they told me, hey, you know, we didn't even realize all the needs there were in our community. And once we got out there and started to really meet the needs of the children in the community, he said, it just doors flung open for us. Suddenly people saw us as relevant in their community. And so it's even when there's already a church, it kind of helps them be more outreach-minded.
I love that idea of being outreach-minded in that way. And I would imagine that, you know, meeting the needs of kids in a community, there's probably not a better way to be outreach-minded than that. So where are the parts of the world that you are at work? I mean, you mentioned Vietnam and Panama. Where else are you?
Yeah, so we are in Haiti. Which is, you know, one of our closest sites. We are in, just opened a site in Cuba within the last few weeks. In Africa, we're in Zambia and in Democratic Republic of Congo and Liberia. Then in Asia, these are some of the sites that are more difficult, unreached. We're in India. We're in Myanmar, which a lot of people know as Burma. We are also in Vietnam, I mentioned, Indonesia, and the Philippines.
So quite the footprint there, yeah. Global fingerprints literally around the world. Where's the name come from, Global Fingerprints?
Well, you know, when you think of a fingerprint, one of the things that you know all people know is that no two fingerprints are exactly alike. Everybody's fingerprint is different. And so we view children like that. Every child is different. Every child has the imprint of God's image on them. And so what we want to do is we want to see these kids be all that God created them to be. And we know each one of them is a unique individual. So every one of these kids is a unique person with a unique fingerprint.
That's such a cool concept. Yeah. By the way, if you want to find out about Global Fingerprints anytime along the way here or after the podcast, hope you'll go check out the website globalfingerprints.org. Even consider sponsoring a child. But Greg, how did God lead you into this ministry?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a long story.
That's all right. We got time.
We'll see how this goes. Yeah, it's really a two-part story. And the first part, Steve, is that many years ago, many moons ago, when I was a much younger man, I was in a Bible study with some guys, and we were all kind of hitting that, you know, 35, 40-year-old range, starting to think about, you know, our futures, and we were doing a Bible study through the book of Nehemiah. And the guy that we were going through asked a really good, poignant question. It said, you know, when Nehemiah heard the walls were down, there was just no question. He had to do something. I mean, he didn't even hardly have to think about it. He knew, I have got to do something about that. And then the question asked, when you look around in the world, what do you say? I have to do something about that. I can't not do something. And, you know, it immediately came into my mind, kids that are in horrible situations, kids in vulnerable situations, kids who are suffering, I know that bothers everybody, but that had really been a burden for me. And so I began to pray a lot about that and regularly over a period of time. And I won't go into all the particulars of this, but through a set of circumstances I can only attribute to the Lord, I end up on a mission trip going to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the purpose of our trip was the middle of the AIDS crisis, and we were going to talk to church leaders about how they're adjusting to the AIDS crisis, you know, what their needs were, where they needed help. And one thing we just kept hearing was AIDS orphans, AIDS orphans. I mean, they were literally overrun with orphans. I mean, pastors would have kids walking for miles and just showing up on their porch. And so we knew that was something that we needed to try to enter into. So I came back to our church. I was a pastor at a church at that time. And we challenged the church, and the church raised money to start a sponsorship program, just a very simple sponsorship program to help AIDS orphans. And that's what eventually morphed into Global Fingerprints. I was kind of involved at the beginning and you know, really felt that I'd seen God work.
Did you, when you were in Africa and you got to see these AIDS orphans, do you ever look around and think, can a difference really be made? I mean, you know, we sit here, I think, in the Western world, and we hear about the problem way over there or in another part of the world, and you went, man, that is such a huge thing. I'm so far removed. I don't know that we can actually make a difference.
Right. Exactly, Steve. In fact, that's why I like child sponsorship, because that's all of these problems are so intractable. They're so big. You do feel like that. You know, what can we really do? And, you know, with child sponsorship, you at least can help one. You know, it's like the starfish story. You know you can help a child. And you can take one child, give them a chance, pull them out of poverty, give them an opportunity to be all that God's given them to be, bring them to the Lord, and you've made a difference. But you're right. When you look at the macro level, it's overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to make a difference in the life of one child today, again, encourage you to go visit the website, spend some time there, find out more about Global Fingerprints. It's globalfingerprints.org. Greg, I kind of cut you off there. You were telling the story, and I think we got through part one, maybe, of that story.
Right, that was part one.
Part two.
All right. Okay, here we go to part two. So now we fast forward. And so a little later in my life, there's a guy I really looked up to, and he'd done a lot of things in ministry. He'd been something of a mentor to me. And one of the things he did in his life is he set some really big goals. And, you know, I never quite knew what to think about that. You know, part of me, I felt conflicted. Part of me thought, well, if I make these big goals, I'm kind of putting God on my agenda versus being on his agenda. But I'd seen how that worked in his own life. It really, it gave a direction to his life. And I know he set these goals prayerfully. So I decided, you know, I'm a goal-oriented person. I think the Lord will get more from me if I set some goals. And one of the goals I set was to reach 10,000 kids, to bring them out of poverty and lead them to Jesus Christ. So 10,000.
Wow.
And I recorded that along with some other goals. And at that point, you know, I was a pastor at a church. I really had no avenue for doing that. But then you fast forward some years, you know, to a few years ago, I felt like the Lord was kind of tapping me on the shoulder. I'd been a pastor for 20 years, and I felt like the Lord just had this sense that there was another mission for me. That's what the way I thought of it. Like, there's one more mission for you, Greg. And so I went, and I thought, I'm going to go back and see what's going on with Global Fingerprints. So I went back, and I met with the interim director at that point, a man, wonderful man who was standing in the director position. And I talked to him, and I said, you know, what are the needs with Global Fingerprints? And here's what he told me, Steve. He said, well, currently we're serving 2,500 kids, but we think with the structure we have, we could serve 10,000 children. When he
Your
said
number.
That number, 10,000, you know, I just about I about first fell over backwards. But then I also leaned forward and I said, well, then let's go get 7,500 sponsors. And I just felt like, you know, the Lord was speaking to me. So I went through the whole process. You know, I needed to talk to my wife, and we prayed, and you know, we did all the things you do to seek the Lord's will. But we kept getting green lights, and I just felt like, again, you know, it gave me that kind of confidence that this is really something the Lord wants me to do. So that's what we're doing. We're going after 10,000 kids.
That's such a cool story, and you know, I think anyone who follows Jesus, they maybe have moments in their life where they feel that nudge, that prompting, that God has a mission for them. You know, you felt that. I felt that at times.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, often it means we may be stepping away from something that feels secure.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a consistent paycheck and benefits, and we know who our people are, and we've maybe put down roots in a community. I would imagine that there was a little bit of, okay, God, I feel the nudge. In fact, I think you're giving me a pretty good push here, but a little nerve-wracking to make a big change like that. Did you wrestle through some of those things?
Certainly I did, Steve, because I was in a secure position. I was in a great church. I loved the church. I'd had a tremendous experience at the church. I was established, like you said, I had security, and this new position was going to require me to raise my own support. I mean, and that's one of those that, you know, nobody really looks forward to doing that.
Right.
And I can honestly remember, Steve, that I was in a hotel after I'd had that conversation with the director I told you about, and literally I about curled up in a ball in the fetal position. I was just overcome with anxiety at the thought of this, you know. But you know how it is. The Lord, you know, he takes your hand and he upholds you and he guides you through the process. And even when I look back, even the whole process of raising my own support, I look back and say, I don't even know how that happened. I mean, the Lord just showed up and it happened, and here we are. And so I do agree. And it's another thing, this mentor of mine, he had said to me, he said, you know, if I feel the Lord's leading me, I do it. I just do it unless it's absolutely, you know, ridiculous or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you always wonder, is it the Lord or is it my own mind? But that's always stuck with me, you know, and I think you do just have to sometimes step out.
It's one thing for you to step out, right? It's another thing to maybe go home or pick up the phone, call your wife and say, I think God might be calling me to leave my job.
That's right.
That's like, one thing when it's just you. How did that go?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. It's one thing when you're 20 to make those kind of decisions.
Right.
It's another when you've got kids in college and you know, you've got a mortgage, et cetera. You know what? My wife is wonderful about these things because she only wants to know one thing. Are you sure it's the Lord? And once that's secured, and of course, you know, it takes some time to be sure of that. You know,
how did you know?
How did I know?
Yeah.
You know, I looked at it and I wrote some things down, Steve, and I said, you know, I've got to get green lights in a few different areas. One was my wife. You know, my wife had to feel okay with this. The church, I had to, you know, the church was going to have to give me some kind of a situation where I could stay at the church while I was raising my support. And I had a few things like that, and I just kept getting green lights, you know, green light after green light. Yeah. And then, of course, the whole fundraising thing, that has a way. There's a difficult side to that, but there's a blessing side too, and that's another affirmation. You know, if the money doesn't come, you know this isn't the Lord. But the way people stepped up and were so generous to us, again, that affirmed to us, you're on the right track.
You know, I love that analogy of a green light. My family and I recently went something very similar through where we moved, changed jobs, and moved states. And that was the analogy we used as well, looking for those green lights.
Well,
we're talking with Greg Norwine today. He is the executive director of Global Fingerprints. And you can find out more about the organization when you go to globalfingerprints.org. We're going to continue talking with Greg coming up after this here on Real People, Real Impact.
Our podcast is brought to you today by Next Level Insights, online at nextlevelinsights.com. Meeting all your digital, print, and audio communication needs, check them out at nextlevelinsights.com.
You're listening to Real People, Real Impact. Greg Norwine with us today, Executive Director of Global Fingerprints, a child sponsorship program. And Greg, when we hear of a child sponsorship program, many of us have an idea of what that means. You know, we're going to feed kids, maybe give them an education, some medical care. Is that basically what your ministry is doing?
Yeah, you know, the way and sponsorship programs work in different ways. Here's how it works for us. So what we'll do is when a child is sponsored, what we call a care worker is assigned to them. And so that care worker actually comes into their home. And this is something that makes us different than a lot of those child sponsorship programs. Comes into their home or wherever they're living and regularly assesses the child to find out what their needs are. Maybe they realize this child isn't going to school. Maybe they've been taken in by extended family and that family doesn't have enough to pay for the school fees for that child. So what they'll do is they'll use the sponsorship money to fill in the gap. So it wouldn't be giving the family the money. It'd be going to the school and saying, we're going to pay the school fees for this child. And then the other thing that I would add, Steve, is just the spiritual component. I mean, we take that very seriously. You know, we sometimes have a care worker meeting monthly with a child for 12 years. And so, you know, if we don't take advantage of that and disciple that child, lead them to Christ and disciple that child, it's just a perfect environment. And the ministry they have to the family of that child as well. So
you got a
that's
story?
How it works.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. So that reminds me, there was a young lady in the Democratic Republic of Congo. That's where Global Fingerprints started. A young lady who living at sustenance level, a very difficult life. And she came into our program and she was given a Bible and she began to read her Bible and she started to hear about Christ. She came to the Lord. This young lady's name, Steve, was Sanemi, which in her tribal language meant hate me, hate me.
Wow.
Now, there's a family of origin issue of some kind.
Right. Talk about dysfunction.
Right. And so, I mean, obviously, she wasn't wanted or whatever, had a very difficult childhood. Well, when she came to Christ, she wanted to be baptized, and so she was. And so they all gathered around. They baptized Sanemi, and when she was coming out of the water, they all started to yell her name, you know, Sanemi, Sanemi, and she said, no, my name is Kwame, and in her language, that means loved by God.
Wow.
And I just love that story because to me, it's like, it just shows that inner transformation, you know, that new identity you get in Christ from hate me to loved by God. That's the way she now saw herself, and that's her name now. And so we just love seeing kids transform like that.
Yeah, that is such a cool thing, that transformation in that way. So what does it take for a child to be a part of the Global Fingerprints program? I mean, what are you looking for?
Yeah, so what we do, we have a tool. It's called the Child Status Index. It's used by a lot of development organizations, and it will evaluate a child with categories that wouldn't surprise you, things like their health, their shelter, their schooling. And so there's seven areas that you use to evaluate a child and see where there are gaps. And so what we'll do is either formally or informally use that to evaluate who are the most vulnerable kids. Who are the kids who really have vulnerabilities and want or usually more of those areas? And that's the kids that we go after and get into the program.
And when a kid gets into the program, is there kind of a typical pattern that they follow, or does that kind of really vary from, you know, child to child and part of the world to part of the world?
Yeah, that is one of the things that you're on to something there. You know, in every part of the world, Global Fingerprints does look different. In fact, we don't even call them Global Fingerprints in the country. They're registered as national organizations. That's one way we kind of keep under the radar. And it'll look a little bit different because the vulnerabilities will be different. And a lot of the countries, for example, will have a tutoring center. Tutoring will be important because the parents don't value education. So the kids will be spending time with the kids every day in a tutoring center. Other places, you know, Congo, the needs are much more at the basic level. There might be a feeding program and things like that where you're really trying to meet some of the most basic needs of the children. So it does take on a different complexion all over the world.
Do you find in most places where you are, because of what you do, people are then receptive to the gospel, or do you find that there's a lot of pushback?
No, you know, I think that is true. And, you know, you can imagine the danger of that. You know, you don't want kids to feel coerced. The kids don't have to come to Christ to be in the program. In fact, we try to choose about 50-50, 50% Christian kids, 50% non-Christian kids. Some parts of the world, it's almost all non-Christian kids in an unreached area. But, you know, what we do find is that just by loving them and caring for them and meeting their basic needs, you certainly get an audience for the gospel. And then that's where God does his work. You know, we do regularly see Muslim kids, Hindu kids, Buddhist kids coming to Christ. And I'm sure that caring for their needs opens the door to share with them, but it's ultimately a movement of the Holy Spirit. And we see it happen in some powerful ways. I remember a group there was a village we went into in India, and it was a Hindu community, no witness for Christ there, and started the program, ended up getting a lot of kids in the program. There's over, I don't know, 250 kids, I think, in that program there in that little village. And we took some of the older kids away on a retreat where we could really be even more open about the gospel and have more time. And there was a movement of the Holy Spirit, and almost every single one of those kids gave their life to Christ.
Wow.
It was just kind of like a revival sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you see that kind of thing happening, and it's just the Holy Spirit. And those kids have stuck with it. There's now a church in that town. These kids are worshiping the Lord, inviting other kids to come to like a youth group that they have. So it's ultimately the Lord, but there's something about just showing your love for people in a practical way.
Yeah. Such a cool thing. Greg, we may have some listening today who say, all right, I want to sponsor a child. How do I do that?
Yeah, so we would love for you to do that, first of all, and you will change a child's life. That's beyond question. I've seen the kids that are in the program. I've seen the kids that are not in the program, and I can see the difference that it makes. There's two ways, actually. You can go on to our website, globalfingerprints.org, and you can look over the children. You can choose a country. You can even choose the kind of communication you'll get. In some of our high security countries, you can't write the child directly because it's just we have to stay under the radar. Other countries, you can. So you choose the kind of communication you want. Just find a child that sort of, sometimes there's just a child that catches your eye. You think, this is the one the Lord wants me to sponsor. And then you can sign up right on the website. Another way people can do it, you know, we love our phones these days. You can actually do it through the phone. What you do is you just text SPONSOR1, that's a numeral 1, SPONSOR1, and you text 22999. So two twos, three nines, 22999. Text the word SPONSOR1, and you will get a link. That'll take you. You can do it right on the phone. You can sponsor a child.
Very cool. Earlier you said that God had kind of placed this number in your mind. 10,000 children, lives changed, sponsored. Where are you at right now?
Well, we're making progress, not as quickly as we would like. We just went over the 4,000 mark.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got 6,000 more kids out there that we you know, want to get into our program. But we're seeing the Lord work, and even in this year, you know, this strange year that we just had, we're ending the year with 500 more kids in the program than we started.
We
attribute that to the Lord's kindness to us.
Well, if you want to sponsor a child, I encourage you to text the word SPONSOR1 to 22999. You can also find out more about Global Fingerprints and sponsor a child by going to their website. It is globalfingerprints.org. Greg Norwine, Executive Director there. Thanks for your time today. Great to talk to you, Greg.
Hey, it's been great being with you too, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Again, the website is globalfingerprints.org or text SPONSOR1 to 22999. Thanks again for joining us today on Real People, Real Impact. And thanks to our team. Mark Brenna is our audio producer. Barb Sparr serves as our production assistant, and our executive producer is Rob Hansen. I'm your host, Steve Hiller. For more, visit realpeoplerealimpact.com.